good stuff from Derek Mason over on Weston. Vanderbilt off this week. Of course, their game the week prior was, or last weekend was postponed with Missouri. It'll be made up on December 12th, and then they have their off week this week. It'll be Ole Miss on Halloween. We bring in Mitch Light from The Athletic to talk college football and SEC. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start in Knoxville, which kind of got everything going on Saturday morning here at 11 a.m. I'll just say this. I've watched that series, Kentucky and Tennessee, my whole life. I know the history is very, very slanted one way. Kentucky had not won a game in Knoxville since 1984. I think Tennessee had won 33 of the last 35. And, you know, there's been a lot of heartbreak losses, but there's also been some lopsided losses in there as well. I did not see this game coming. I thought Tennessee would bounce back. Clearly, I was completely wrong. I thought Tennessee would probably win by, you know, a couple touchdowns, 17 points, pretty much be in control the whole game. It was far from that. Let's just start with the Kentucky side first. I mean, when you hear about opportunistic defenses, I think right now they are the poster child for being an opportunistic defense. What is that, 10 takeaways in the last 16 possessions or something like that?
Yeah, it's been – they are zagging when everyone is zigging or whatever the phrase is. The SEC, we've been talking about offenses this year and prolific passing attacks. Kentucky's like, I don't need your stinking passing yards. Just, you know, I'll sit back while you make mistakes and force turnovers. Dating back to last year, in their last eight wins, Kentucky's averaged 70 passing yards per game in their eight wins.
Wow.
That's 560 passing yards combined. That's like, that's you know, some Alabama on a decent day nowadays. and they have 107 and 73 in their two wins this year. You know, it's a formula that is working. I don't know if Mark Stoops wants to rely on this formula long term. You can't. You know, defensive coaches like to preach turnovers that we coach them, and you know we work on it. It's the data suggests it's largely, you know, it's a 50-50 proposition. You know, one season you might force a lot of turnovers, the next year it's the other way. So you know, certain teams do things to force turnovers, but for the most part, you probably shouldn't rely on them too much. But it has been it's been fascinating to watch. To your point, Darren, like everyone has thoughts on games, and I'm with you. I thought Tennessee would win the game. I thought they'd bounce back. Sure, saying Kentucky could go in there and win was kind of a bold statement, but if you thought that the game was going to turn out like that, I don't even the most, you know, optimistic Kentucky fan couldn't have thought the way. It was just soul-crushing the way they just drove the ball up and down the field in the second half. So credit to Kentucky and Mark Stoops and that staff. They obviously have a formula right now that's working, and just a great road win for that program.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, things have gone the wrong direction for Tennessee. And let's just start with the most important position, the quarterback position. I mean, here's a fifth-year guy, a guy who came out of high school as a five-star recruit, 3 years now as the starter, and we're kind of still talking about the same stuff. It's really baffling that Jarrett Garantano, that, like I said, we're still having the same discussion piece, and it's also a little baffling to me, Mitch, that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff have been praised, rightfully so, about their work, you know, on the recruiting trails and bringing in some big-time talent into Knoxville, but yet I actually believe him when he says that's their best option. Like, how can that still be their best option when you kind of know what you're getting out of Garantano?
Yeah, you kind of hope he would turn the corner this year and as a fifth-year senior, but you're right. We have been talking about the same flaws, the same inconsistencies for two or three years. And, you know, I don't always put a ton of stock in what coaches say about their quarterback position because they're, you know, they're speaking to their team, they're speaking to their players. I'm not saying that that's the case, that they don't have a better option. They probably have guys, you know, obviously Harrison Bailey, freshman, that I know a lot of fans want to see, and some of those other guys. I can't imagine that Garantano is going to be the quarterback the rest of the year if he continues to be this inconsistent. It's just not prudent for the future of this program. But one thing that always stuck with me, and I'm not saying coaches make poor decisions or we just need to sit back and and trust everything coaches tell us about their personnel. I just remember interviewing Bobby Johnson once for a preseason story for Athlon, and I can't even remember the year. Something to do with the quarterbacks, and, you know, fans wanted one guy, and another guy was starting, and I turned off the recorder, and he looked at me. Like, he wasn't necessarily mad at me. It was just sort of like just speaking frustration. He said, the fans, the people actually think we're going to start, we're not going to start the best guy that we think gives us the best chance. Like, he was flabbergasted that people thought he was, like, playing games or not starting the best guy. So, again, not saying that coaches are always right, but they're the ones that know their personnel the best. So it's going to be a storyline the rest of the year, and if he doesn't start playing better, you know, there's probably going to be a change in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Everybody had Arkansas pegged as a bottom feeder in the SEC, without a doubt. What is going on there? What a nice win for! I mean, they have been anything but that. They're 2-2, and quite honestly, they're dangerously close, kind of like Kentucky, to their record being even better. I mean, I think it's interesting. Kentucky and Arkansas, you know, a play here, play there, their season could be totally different through four games. But what's going on with Sam Pittman right now with Arkansas, where they're 2-2 and look really good?
Yeah, nothing fluky about it, like you said. And they looked good in the opener for a half against Georgia. First of all, you know, I think we've talked about this, and this isn't, you know, Sam Pittman has clearly done a great job. And he is, if you haven't read it, Andy Staples at The Athletic had a really good story about the Sam Pittman hire and how unconventional it was hiring an offensive line coach. But he's pushing all the right buttons. But I think the question is, too, how were they so bad the last few years? I know it's not all recruiting, but this is not a program that didn't have talent. They have been recruiting at a top 25 level. Their classes have been consistently in that top 30 range, I guess I should say. So I think there was some talent in there. And just, you guys know sports, once things start to go poorly, you lose belief and they can steamroll. And they've been really, really bad the last few years. So I think they probably were punching all the right buttons in the preseason. And then when they saw some positive results in that first half of the Georgia game, it kind of made some of those guys into believers. And then they broke through and won that next week. So I think most teams in the SEC not have enough talent, not necessarily to win their division or win, but with the right coaching and the right leadership and the right belief that they can win some games that none of us thought they could win.
Kind of along the same lines, Mitch, as Scarantano, a guy like Kellen Mond at A&M, with all of his experience and, you know, how off, you know, way offenses are in college football, I'm just amazed that he looks so incredibly average this season, yet here we are talking about a Texas A&M team that's 3-1.
Yeah, I think you're being a little harsh on him. He was great in the Florida game. I thought he made some huge throws. He was very, very efficient in that game. I think against Mississippi State, I didn't watch a ton of this game. It was two other games on the 3 o'clock window that I was watching. I'm looking at his numbers right now, 13 of 23, two touchdowns. He really didn't have to do much in that game. It was just sort of like letting Mississippi State make some mistakes. And, you know, A&M didn't have a prolific offensive game. I think Mond, I would put Mond in the more consistent category than Jared Gantano. Maybe hasn't lived up to expectations. I think that happens a lot as media and fans. When someone takes over a job as a freshman or a redshirt freshman, we kind of give them almost too much credit for being efficient and effective so young in their careers. If they don't just keep getting better year by year, maybe that sometimes we feel like they're not living up to their hope. I mean, living up to expectations. I think he's a solid, the top 5 quarterback in the SEC, and I think he's having a decent year.
Okay.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic, and Mitch, where are you at on the Gus bus right now with Auburn? Is the Gus bus close to being taken out of town after last week's loss to South Carolina, or what do you think?
I mean, this is just great. I mean, to the fact that it's just every year the same conversations about Gus Malzahn or whoever the coach is at Auburn. It's just it's kind of a rite of passage. If it's October, we're talking about the coaching situation at Auburn. You know, they have not did not look great. They were fortunate to beat Arkansas. They controlled the game early against South Carolina. It did not take advantage of situations. Bo Nix is kind of what the Kellen Mond thing we talked about. A guy comes in as a freshman, a five-star guy, makes a huge throw in his first game against Oregon, and we're just kind of anointing him as the next great one because he's a five-star and we know who his dad is. He hasn't been very good. They had three big turnovers in that game. South Carolina scored off all three turnovers. There's no really other options. Joey Gatewood transferred. He's at Kentucky now. He's backing up Terry Wilson. Things aren't looking great for Gus right now. I think in the preseason, most expected them to be a top two or three team in the SEC West. They don't look that like that right now, Chase. But if there's one thing about Auburn football and Gus, whenever you think you've got them figured out, you're completely wrong. So I wouldn't be surprised if they turn on late in the year and, you know, he'll save his job one more time. But it's definitely emerging as one of the top storylines in the SEC.
A non-SEC story. I was very, very surprised to see North Carolina, I should say, lose to Florida State. I watched a lot of that game, and Florida State in the first half, I mean, they just dominated and pulled away. North Carolina tried to battle back, but was that, in your opinion, a case of just they were overlooking, North Carolina was overlooking a not very good Florida State team, or what do you think happened there?
Yeah, shocking development from the week. Because it's not like Florida State had just been losing and hadn't looked great. I mean, it had looked okay and just losing close games. They've been horrible this year so far. And North Carolina had been really, really good offensively. So I'm with you. I was kind of on the secondary TV, and I just kind of kept looking over and like, wow. I was just surprised. I don't know if you're North Carolina. That's not – if you're North Carolina and you're looking past Florida State, that's not very wise because we know programs' DNAs, and I don't care how down Florida State might be or how hot North Carolina is. Anytime you're North Carolina football and you go into Tallahassee, you got to treat it like a big game because you know they've got players on that team. They've got the right not elite Florida State personnel, but they've got personnel on that team that can beat anyone in that league except for Clemson. I think it's a credit to Mike Norvell in that whole operation there because a few weeks ago, you know, head coach is out with COVID. They're struggling to beat Jacksonville State. People are like, what's the deal with Florida State? How far have they fallen? We've just given up on them completely. So for them, you know, they made a move at quarterback. Travis gave them a little bit of a lift. Long term, I think he's going to have to develop into a better passer for them to be a legit contender. But I just think that's just a great win for Florida State. And just a reminder to North Carolina, there's going to be some speed bumps as you kind of climb back up that food chain in college football. They're a really good program. It's getting better, but they're not good enough to go into Tallahassee and not play their best and beat Florida State.
Mitch, I have good news for you. Friday night, it's finally here. The Big Ten Conference. They're going to join everybody except for the Pac-12, and they're going to start playing with Illinois and Wisconsin, obviously Nebraska, Ohio State the next day. But as we've seen with the SEC, there have obviously been scheduling changes, and the SEC has had the space in which to make that work. The Big Ten, it's going to be harder to do. So what are you expecting as they get ready to start their schedule?
Yeah, and there's stricter protocols. Don't have them all in front of me, but isn't it like 21 days? If you're diagnosed with COVID, you have to sit for 21 days. Or, you know, so there's less weeks off, there's less cushion in there, and there's stricter protocols. So I'm really looking forward to the Big Ten season. I think Saturday night is Minnesota and Michigan, which is going to be a great game. Minnesota's was really improved last year. PJ Fleck getting better and better. I think Ohio State is – I work with our Ohio State writer, Bill Landis, so I've learned more about Ohio State football in the past 3 or 4 months than I ever thought I would want to know. And you just realize how talented they are. They are – and we know this. They're good every year. But they're Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, good talent. And, you know, the way I explain how good Ohio State is, and I know a little bit of a tangent here, Chase, we had a mailbag where readers ask questions for Ohio State writer. And one of the questions was complaining about a recruit, why they signed him. Can this underrated guy actually contribute? What was the staff thinking? And I looked him up. He was ranked the number 300 player in the country, which for, you know, 90% of the schools out there would be the best recruit in the entire class. And this is good. Ohio State fans are complaining because they signed a 4-star guy who was only the 300th player or 400, whatever he was. So they are really, really talented. Justin Fields obviously is great there. Penn State is going to be an interesting, you know, team to watch. So I'm ready for Big Ten football.
Actually, Michigan, Minnesota is Saturday night on ABC. The Friday night contest, as we talked to Brad Hopkins in the second hour, will be the Fighting Illini and Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium. That'll be the Friday night game.
On the Big Ten Network.
On Big Ten Network, yes.
Yeah, so good stuff there. Illinois, hey, I give, they went to a ball game last year. They beat Wisconsin. So signs of life out of Lovie Smith there, one of the chronically underachieving programs, not just in the Big Ten, but nationally. So I, you know.
I forgot again, he was there.
Yeah, they missed out on the sun, though. Sun went to Purdue. So, but yeah, Friday night, I'll be watching some Big Ten football.
Last thing quickly, if BYU just runs the table and destroys everybody like they've been doing, because of their schedule, no one's going to give them the time of day. True?
Largely true. You know, I'm a big proponent of margin of victory. How'd you do it? And, you know, I think that's their what, 7-point win over UTSA could really, really hurt them.
Yep.
Because if you're BYU and you're not really playing anyone, you have to dominate every opponent. And they dominated Houston in the second half of the fourth quarter last week. That ended up a nice win. But you can't make a playoff case by a nice fourth quarter against Houston in a rout over Navy when Navy, like, literally hasn't had a contact practice all season. So they're better than we all expected. Kudos to that staff, because Ketani Solaki was kind of on the hot seat at his alma mater a couple years ago. They've got a really good team. But, Darren, I agree with you. And I'm usually a proponent of giving the little guy, you know, not necessarily saying they deserve to be in the playoff, but, hey, let's give them a longer look than a lot of people. Let's really look at the schedule. But I'm with you. There's not enough meat on the bone there.
Yeah. Good stuff as always. Appreciate it. You have a great week, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
All right, that is Mitch Light from The Athletic. We will come back more on this Tuesday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, a word about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Yeah, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years like they've been helping a lot of you in this area. They've been around here in Middle Tennessee since 2007. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to improve your quality of life, and I hope you want that like I do. Who doesn't want to improve your quality of life? As we all get older, things start happening. Things start breaking down, or, you know, things that maybe you've never experienced before creep up, and you're like, what's going on? Well, they house so many things under one roof, whether it's a hormone replacement therapy, if you've been feeling off or sluggish or just not the same, you know, get up to you, and you're just like, man, what is going on? Well, go over there and talk to them about that. They can check your levels. They tend to go down as we get older, and they can get you on the right path. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management. Boy, there's an important one in 2020. We get it. Your local gym was closed for a good while. You got out of your routine, and you haven't gotten back into your routine, and you've put on some unwanted pounds that you would like to get rid of. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you going in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation over at Cool Springs MD, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website and learn everything about them, coolspringsmd.com.